Blog Talk Radio.
Joshua David Stone. And in particular, this week we're going to be covering the laws of karma. I mean, last week we finished a five-part series on the laws of manifestation, the laws of manifestation. What a powerful, powerful book study, a powerful, powerful lesson. Please, I encourage you to go back and download those five lessons, the laws of manifestation. Powerful, powerful tools for you to work with. It will elevate you, evolve you in your manifestation work. I was blown away by it. I learn as I teach, and it was just a powerful experience. We're getting ready to go through the same journey of the laws of karma. And let me tell you, this is going to open your eyes to what karma really is. I mean, we've all heard the saying, what goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. We're really going to connect the dots between the basic principles of karma and our soul development, our evolving soul development. How are you this morning, Dr. Veggie?
Okay.
I know your energy is holding you in the light, honestly. And I'm praying for you, and I'm asking everyone to send Dr. Reggie energy this morning. You want to take us into our morning prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the right to call you Father and the right to have dynamic and direct access to you through the power of prayer. Thank you for all the laws of the universe, including the laws of karma, and those things that we reap, we do so in thought, in word, and in deed. Let's take that threefold and always elevate to the highest good and the highest pinnacle of righteousness. For the namesake of the Christ, we pray and believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie. Thank you so much. You know, your opening statement was, thank you for giving us the right to call you Father. You know, you're acknowledging our creation, our divine creation, and our connection to that divine energy that we call God or Source or Universe. And I thank you so much. I'm asking each and every one of you to just take a moment and breathe on that truth principle that you and God are one. You and the Source of all creation are one. That is a powerful thing to contemplate first thing in the morning. Powerful, powerful. And you know, all of the lessons that we are going through as we go through this book are coming, they are rooted in that truth principle, bringing us into the awareness of how real that is, how powerful we are, because as Dr. Reggie says, we have God's DNA. We are made, the Bible says we are made in the image and likeness of God. You know, there's just so many hints throughout all of these books that we're studying. The books that are the spiritual books, such as the Bible, to tell us who we really are. And we walk around in a dream state, not really understanding our personal power. So grab hold of this lesson. Practice, discipline yourself. You know, meditate on that, on just that one true principle alone, that you and God are one, that you and the Source are one, that you and the universe are one. Expand your consciousness. Stay on the path. Be disciplined and practice. So let's move into the laws of karma. He opens with a scripture, Matthew 5:18, that says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled." And then he gives us another scripture, Luke 16:17. "And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law fail." So, as I mentioned earlier, the basic law of karma states that you sow what you reap. What you put out comes back to you.
You reap what you sow.
Well, he says, I'm reading it from him, but I agree with you. You reap what you sow. He says you sow what you reap. Okay? This is the law of cause and effect. So you might think that there are a lot of people living in this world who get away with too much. I'm here to tell you that no one gets away with anything. The Bible tells us every jot and tittle of the law is fulfilled. And that's one thing I love about the law. It makes no judgment. And it's just, it persists and consists and exists and never changes. Regardless of who you are, what color your skin is, none of that matters. The law is the law is the law. You can be rich, you can be poor. The law is the law is the law. The interesting thing about the law of karma is that it extends over many lives. So even if it appears that someone has unfairly taken advantage of another and escaped unscathed, it really is not so. Because the soul continues even if you have reincarnated into another physical body. You know, the Edgar Casey files are just filled with examples that emphasize this point. And Jesus provided a very excellent understanding of the law when he said, "Do unto others as you would have others do unto you." And this is more literal than we even realize. So there are different levels of karma. How many of you know that? There are different levels of karma. When I have been speaking of, what I've been speaking of so far is what I would call personal karma, what we personally have yet set into motion with the power of our consciousness. But the second type of karma is group karma. So when we incarnate into this world, we are born into groups based on our skin color or our religious affiliation. And so when a person is born into a black body in the United States, he or she has to deal with the racism and prejudice, not because a black body is inferior to a white body, but because of the low level of spiritual consciousness of so many souls on this plane. So a person in a black body or in the body of another minority takes on the karmic lesson of that group. Another type of karma is what they call national karma. We are born into a certain country and are then indoctrinated with this egotistical identification. And if, for example, there was a nuclear war between the communist China and the United States, well, we would get all caught up in this national karmic lesson. No man is an island of himself. Now, there is even a planetary karma. And this particular school that we call Earth, it has certain unique lessons that are quite different from those on other planets in this galaxy or even in the universe. And so we must deal with the planetary karma and the phase of history that we're born in. So it could also be said that all karma is personal, and that we as souls choose our skin color, our families, our religion, the country that we are going to grow up in before incarnating. So in essence, one could say that all karma is personal karma because we choose it. Now, the word karma has often been associated with bad karma. The idea that we must experience some form of suffering because of a lesson that has not been learned. And this is distinguished from that state of grief. The truth is that everything in this universe is governed by law. And there are physical laws, there are emotional laws, mental laws, and spiritual laws. And when we fall out of harmony with these laws, we suffer. So karma is not a punishment, but it's actually a gift. Because it's a sign that we are out of balance. It's a sign that we are out of balance. So the attitude toward everything that happens in this life is not my will, but thine. And thank you for the lesson. Not my will, but thine. Thank you for the lesson. Buddhism calls this non-resistance. The idea is to work and learn from the universe instead of fighting it. You know, we have a saying that says, just go with the flow. Go with the flow. The idea is to work and learn from the universe instead of fighting it. This does not mean to give up our power. Just the opposite of that. It means owning our power and viewing what has happened as a teaching, a lesson, a challenge, and an opportunity to grow. Look at karma as a stepping stone for soul growth. So you see, here's what I see. We get up in the morning, and I give you guys this example all the time. But we get up in the morning, and the alarm clock rings. We get up, and we go through our morning ritual, whatever that is. Brushing your teeth, taking a shower, combing your hair. Well, you're getting ready for the day. A lot of us are getting ready to go to work at a job or in our business, our own personal business, whatever it is. My point is that we are on autopilot when it comes to moving and functioning on a daily basis. What I am asking you to do is to come off of autopilot for a while, for a moment, and acknowledge who you really are and move through the day, moment by moment, in the awareness that you are the right. And then coming from that place where there is no resistance, and if you have been with Circles of Prosperity for any time, you know that the reason I get so excited when I hear the word non-resistance and no resistance is because it was revealed to me that that is perfect love. And what do we know about love? God is love. If I'm functioning from that place, I'm functioning from my God self, from my higher self, from my Christ consciousness. So you see how we're connecting the dots? I'm functioning from perfect love which equals in me no resistance, which equals in me I'm moving in my Christ consciousness from moment to moment, which equals in me I am connected to that which we call God and Source. I am in harmony with it, which equals in me as negative things which appear to be negative happen to me, I embrace them because it gives me an opportunity to grow even more. I have no resistance because I recognize that everything that goes on in my life is for my higher self, for my soul development. I'm coming from that place of Christ consciousness, perfect love. And at that point, I can say thank you. Okay? You see why it's so important to stay connected to who you really are. It makes your life easier. When you're connected, you avoid pitfalls because you're going to get a warning. This isn't the best choice. This isn't for your highest good. But we get so caught up into the negative. Oh, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? Going down the wrong path. Let me say, it's not the wrong path. You're going down a path that will keep you stuck where you are, rather than lifting you up out of the situation. Joshua Stone says, there is absolutely no need for us to suffer because suffering is not God's design. It is our own. So if you're into the law of attraction, a lot of you are, that come to circles of prosperity, great law, even more powerful. It's like a steroids, law of attraction on steroids when you're coming from that space of being in your Christ consciousness, right? Your thoughts are creating what? Your experience. And that's why he's saying it is our own mind. Somewhere along the line, we feel that we have to suffer. Or we're having thoughts that cause us to suffer. And because we have not moved into the alignment of our higher self, we perceive it as suffering. We believe it to be suffering, and it will be experienced suffering. But that's, and a lot of us say, why is God doing this to me? God is not doing it. Or yes, maybe God is doing it, because if we're connected and you have that divine energy in you, you are misusing the power that God gave you by creating a scenario that is painful and suffering for you, which is just a lesson, really. But you have to understand, whether we believe that we're connected or not, we are. All I'm trying to do is make you aware of your connection and the power, and to show you, don't use it against you, use it to help you. He says, it is a sign that we are letting our negative ego or separated, fearful, fear-based self be our guide rather than the soul or the spirit. And think about the time when you were petrified of an outcome that you created in your mind. Oh, I remember I couldn't pay my house, but I got laid off. I couldn't pay my house, and I feared losing my house. And I painted such horrible pictures of what I would go through if that happened. How many of you have done something similar? And through the process, what I begin to understand and to learn is that I will always be taken care of. The universe will always support me, no matter how distorted my visions are. See, I was in a spiritual battle. Is my fear going to run my life, or is my faith in faith and trust going to run my life? Am I going to be in total alignment with my higher self, or am I going to be governed by my fear? Which one is going to rule my life? And it's not an easy lesson. I can tell you that wasn't easy for me. I struggled. Even as I'm teaching you, I was going through struggle between moving into that awareness of who I am, my personal power, moment to moment. So don't think you're going to get this overnight. And look, I've been on this path for 30 years. I'm not saying, but we're living in a wonderful time now. You can get this overnight. It depends on how committed you are in not fighting, not resisting. Okay, let's move on. Okay, this one's going to cause some of you to faint. I know some of my hallelujah people, I know. There is no such thing as sin. A sin is like some indelible stain on our character that cannot be removed. Sin is an egotistical concept, not a spiritual one. So sin is missing the mark. Mistakes are actually positive. They're not negative. The idea is to learn from them and most of all forgive ourselves. Forgive yourself. Perfection is not never making a mistake. True perfection is the state of always forgiving oneself for one's mistake and then trying to learn from that experience. You know, the first time I heard Dr. Renji share this story with me, it was about Benjamin Franklin, I believe. And how he discovered electricity. And they said, well, you performed about 10,000 experiments that failed. And he said, oh, no, I didn't fail 10,000 times. I can show you 10,000 ways that it will not work. He learned. Every so-called mistake, every so-called failure, said, well, it's one way. Let me try another way. Oh, it won't work. I guess another try. He was learning. He was learning. I worked with a young man that desired to have his own business. And I'm listening, and I don't know if he heard me when I found it, but very quietly in my spirit, what I heard was, you are on your divine path. Every experience you're going through right now is preparing you for that which you desire the most. So embrace where you are now. These same experiences you are having now, because they're teaching you and preparing you for that which you really desire. It just, wow, that blew me away. Sometimes things come out of my mouth and I go, ooh, wow, that's amazing. So that was truly amazing. There's another very important point in Rebecca Karma. And that is, all lessons are learned within self. In other words, if you are having a vicious fight with a former friend, but choose to forgive and unconditionally love that person, letting go of your animosity, you are free from karma. Even if the other person chooses to hold on to a grudge for the rest of his or her incarnation. And this is very liberating, isn't it? You know, I really, and I moved into this very early in my journey. I could not understand why people hold grudges. And the reason was because it requires so much focus and intention to hold a grudge. I couldn't hold a grudge. This is my failure. I could not hold a grudge because I couldn't think about it. I couldn't stay focused on something that long. I would forget. Oh, I'm supposed to be mad at you. And I tried to roll back. I couldn't roll back at that point. I was done with it. And I sat there for a long time wondering, how do people hold on a grudge for so long? I had other things to do with my creative power than to try to remember that why I'm angry with somebody or disappointed or disenchanted. Get over it. Karma comes back to us on all levels. It comes back to us physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. How we take care of our physical body in this lifetime will determine what? How healthy the physical body is. For the next, if we are destined to return. So if we master our emotions in this lifetime and we become peaceful and calm and joyous and happy, then when we incarnate again in our next lifetime, as babies, we'll be peaceful and calm and joyous. Some people believe in the idea of the tabula rasa, or a blank slate. This is obviously absurd. We are not blank slates when we're born. As a matter of fact, there is no such thing as a child. There are only adult souls living in baby bodies. The average person has 200 to 250 past lives. The soul, with all 12 of its extensions, has an average of 2,400 to 3,000 past lives. If you guys have been on Oracle Friday with Cindy Bentley, she'll tell you how many past lives you have. And in particular, she'll tell you how many past lives you've had with a certain person, which is totally intriguing. How we keep bringing the same people into our circle. I can tell you that the moment that I met Reggie, Dr. Reggie, I knew that there was a soul connection. It wasn't, I didn't define it that way at this time, but it pulled, yes, I did in a way, because I said, oh my God, I am compelled from my soul to listen to you. The energy was like, ooh, and we locked. And boy, has it been a wonderful journey. And I'm so grateful that I waited for that. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, my mother said something to me when I was very young. She said, be kind to everyone because you'll be entertaining angels unaware. So I went through my lifetime expecting an angelic experience. Expecting it. Why she said that to me, I don't know. I believe, but it unlocked something in my consciousness. And I believe that was a trigger in this lifetime of me. And so I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And then I met the tradition. And miracle after miracle happened. It was a sign, a sign, a sign. One right after another, one after another. And you not just the muscles and a lot. And when you're doing the combination, you know, you'll see a tumble just drop and hit right. And then you turn the knob a little bit more and you'll hear it drop again. And it's unlocking the door. That's what was happening in my soul. It was unlocked. Powerful experience. So here's another interesting point in respect to karma. It is the understanding that there really is no such thing as linear time in the spiritual world. Time is simultaneous. Teach you to come to us on this planet at this particular time to teach us the power of now. Eckertone. The power of now. Living in this moment. That's why we start talking about lifetime. We're moving into where the awareness of who you are, who you really are, from moment to moment, because we're staying in the now. You're creating now. Whatever you're thinking right now is creating what's happening, as we call it, in the future. If you're creating now, this is the only moment that is. Is it possible for you to have karmic bleed through from any of the 11 other soul extensions still incarnation? Yes. This bleed through can come from the past or the future. I realize that this is a difficult concept for you to understand at this point. Try to grasp this concept with your right brain rather than your left brain. So here's an example. Karmic bleed through can manifest as a physical symptom that you are experiencing, but which in reality aren't your own. So let's say that one of your fellow soul extensions is close to death in his or her incarnation. You may be experiencing this or running some of their karma through a physical body. So if you want to assist in the healing of one or many of your soul extensions by doing this, you can. However, I wouldn't recommend it much unless you need clear guidance. So he's going to share an experience that he had. He said that he was, his mentor or his ascended master is cool. And he says one day provides a good example of bleed through. He said that there was cigarette smoke in my field. And I said, cigarette smoke? That's impossible. I have never smoked cigarettes. I asked him if he was sure it was an incense, which I sometimes like. He said, no, it is cigarette smoke. And he searched more deeply on and found it was coming from one of my soul extensions. So to understand the concept that soul extensions are guided by the soul or the oversoul, there's a book out by James Roberts. Many of you have heard it, a Seth book, and it's called The Education of Oversoul 7. And it will help give you a better understanding of this concept of simultaneous time and of the concept of soul extension being guided by soul. You know, I love the new movies that are out, that are coming out, to deal with the different levels of consciousness that are happening simultaneously. As a matter of fact, Dr. Reggie and I were watching a television series called Sanctuary, and this was way out. It was consciousness. These people consciously went inside of a software program that had somehow evolved into consciousness. So there was this person that they had known for years that had died and was inside this software and had harnessed a nanovirus to infect it. But my whole point is, they were inside, people were monitoring them simultaneously. Two different levels of consciousness going on simultaneously. It was very intriguing. So, there are three permanent atoms in the physical, mental, and emotional bodies. These permanent atoms are recording devices for personal karma. They also dispense karmic pitches into the bloodstream, and this has an enormous effect on the glandular system. This is part of God's system for implementing the law of karma fairly. With respect to how karma relates to blood transfusions, organ transplants, and animal organ transplants, Dwajas Kulz has said that all three are definitely not recommended and should be avoided if at all possible. Take, for example, blood transfusion. Let's say that you are a third-degree initiate and have just taken your soul merge initiation. And then you go into a hospital and get a blood transfusion from a person who hasn't stepped onto his or her spiritual path yet. And so the blood, physically and spiritually speaking, would be totally dissonant with your vibration. So you would be, in essence, running another person's car through your bloodstream. And an organ transplant would be even worse, especially from an animal donor. And some of you know that Dr. Reggie is on dialysis, and they keep trying to tell him, get, you know, we think you're an excellent candidate for a kidney transplant. And he is extremely resistant, and I am too, because he is very, very aware that, you know, of the impact of having another person's organ. Consciousness travels. You impact every organ in your body. You're in control of every organ in your body. Every cell is under your instruction. And if you guys went through Bruce Lipton videos with us, you know that the bloodstream is carrying the DNA for you, which is instruction that came from your mother based on of the environment that was passed on to you through blood. Now, am I telling you not to get a blood transfusion? No. Am I telling you not to get a transplant? No, I'm just giving you some food for thought to think about these things. All could come up from past lives, and this one is stored in the causal body or the soul body. The building of this causal body is one of the main requirements for achieving liberation from the will of rebirth. To achieve ascension, you need to balance only 51% of the karma of all of your past lives. That is the karma of your personal past lives, not the karma of your 11 other soul existences. So much of the karma is not necessarily a past life, but has been created in this life. So let's say you fall asleep at the wheel while you're driving, and you get into a serious car accident. And the lesson may be as simple as being foolish enough to drive when one is overtired. But all karma from past lives is basically just programming in your subconscious mind and in your three permanent atoms. It can all be transformed in this life if you learn to be the master of your three lower vehicles, the physical, the emotional, and the mental body. And then in service of the spirit and unconditional love, it is possible that you can completely clear your subconscious mind and the three permanent atoms of all negative programming, and to replace it with positive programming. There you go. There you go. The laws of karma even extend to the type of soul you attract during your intercourse and the conception of a child. The kind of soul that is attracted is greatly determined by the quality of feeling and love that is shared and being made manifest during the lovemaking experience. Everything, you know, when we were doing the study of the laws of manifestation, it hit me so strongly that that whole process is sacred. I mean, I recall saying the word over and over, this is sacred work, this is sacred work, this is sacred work. The act of lovemaking is sacred. It is sacred. See, we're separating all of this. We get caught up in the feeling. But we don't really make a connection between the impact that it has on our soul. You are on a spiritual journey, whether you realize it or not. You will wake up and realize it. The basic law of the universe is that our thoughts create our reality. Our thoughts create our reality. And all karma has its antecedent in some ancient thought that led to a feeling or action. And it is sometimes helpful to do hypnotic regression work to release karmic blocks from past lives or early childhood. Under hypnosis, you can re-experience a past trauma, thus gaining insight as to the cause of that particular karmic result. But very often, you can then release that program from your subconscious mind. You know, I love Cindy Bentley's work because she just opens you up to realize things that you have been carrying on from other past lives. And she had one young lady on Friday, who said, oh my goodness, you have 18 vows of poverty. Here's this person who's probably feeling, you know, challenged financially quite often throughout her entire lifetime, probably. Grab, get ahead a little bit, and then fall back, get ahead. But she had 18 vows of poverty. And this is during a time when people totally believed that the vow of poverty meant that, to some it was that they were totally relying on God as their source. But can you imagine that those contracts, the flow that can come to her? Amazing. And we're so blessed because Cindy comes on the second Friday of every month. And I think her work is so important, especially as you are being made aware of the power of your thoughts. You're being made aware of the love of your life. There's so much that she can do to help. So that's why we ask her, please come on every month. Our people need to work with you. I'm going to take a quick minute to our closing and we'll pick up this chapter tomorrow and finish it out. Ooh, Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for bringing such wonderful teachers to us, such wonderful books that awaken us to who we really are. Thank you for the divine design and the power that we. Thank you for awakening us and making us aware of vigilance from moment to moment and moving our Christ consciousness from moment to moment. And so it is. Have a good one.